Beruchim Abayim, ladies. We are studying today Shi'ud Le'ainun Nishmat Netanel Ben Loris Alav Shalom, dedicated by the Zetune family and friends from the Safra group. Our condolences to the families in Brazil and all the friends from Panama and from the Safra group, all his the associates that have made this dedication. Tehi nishmato tzur rab besor ha'chayim. Amen. We are studying today Parashat Vayechi. A parasha begins Vayechi Yaakov be'eres Mitzrayim 17 shana, and Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim for 17 years. This was the last 17 years of his life, was in Mitzrayim. He went down at 130, he passed away at 147. Why does the Torah have to tell us this? That he lived 17 years in Egypt. It's simple mathematics, I could figure it out. If he went down at 130 and he died at 147, it's not such a complicated equation. I could figure out that he was there for 17 years. But the Torah goes out of its way to tell us, Sheva Esre Shana. As I tell you many times, there's nothing extra in our Torah. Every word is instructive. Every word teaches us something. Not just for statistics, 17 years. There's a value in every single ought, in every single letter. And if I may ask you one more question, even though I have a lot of questions, but I'll ask you one more. It says that Yaakov lived in Egypt. Vayechi Yaakov. What do you have to tell me? He lived in Egypt. If he went down to Egypt, I assume that he was living. You have to tell me he was living? Of course he's living. Vayechi Yaakov. Maybe there's another word that Torah could have said. Maybe Vayechi, and he was in Egypt. But Vayechi, he was living in Egypt. Of course, if he's in Egypt, he's living. Ladies, I want to explain to you today something very, very important. It needs introductions. These are very important principles that I'm going to tell you today. These are things that come from the holy books, the Zohar Kadosh, and they answer the most basic questions that we have. Why did we come to this world? What is our purpose? Where do we come from? Questions that should bother all of us. The human being came to this world on the day that they were born. Everybody has a birthday. I say everybody has a birthday, but it's not so. I was recently made a trip to Mexico with the chief rabbi of Israel. So we went to check in. The rabbi's passport, it says 0000000. So the lady says, when's the rabbi's birthday? It's 000. I said, Hakam, when is your birthday? He says, I don't know when my birthday is. Wow. He says, I was born in Casablanca. At the time there was something in the hospital, they lost records. There's no records. I have no idea. So the lady says, but we have to give a birthday. You cannot fly without a birthday. So Rabbi, what year were you born? So I was born in the year that they found the state of Israel, 1948. So I said, good. So I said, I know when the rabbi's birthday is. She says, when? I said, July 4th. Said, July 4th? The rabbi said, where did you pick July 4th? That's Independence Day of America. So you were born in the year of the independence of Israel, and then I gave the chief rabbi his birthday. So he wrote it down for that one. He wrote July 4th. So anybody asks you when the chief rabbi is born, I gave him the rabbi's birthday. 1948. Anyway, You're much older than your birthday. I know you don't want to hear that. But you're much older than your birthday. All of us are actually 5,771 years old. Most of you don't look that age, Baruch Hashem. But in truth, you did not start as a human being. You started as a soul, as a neshama. Your neshama has been around forever. And the neshama was living under the Kiseh HaKavod, under God's throne. Whatever that means. He has a throne, a Kiseh HaKavod. And your neshamot were living there. This is a great place to live. It's bliss over there. It's tranquility, it's peace. You're benefiting from the countenance, from the Shekhinah, from the Divine Presence. The neshama is eternal. And then at a certain point, God tells the neshama, go. Where should I go? You must leave this comfort place, and you must go to this world. To the which world? All the way down. The Kiseh HaKavod is very far away. It's further than the moon, further than the sun. You cannot even take a rocket ship there. It's all the way up. It's in the different levels. And God tells the soul, you have to go down. But the soul says, I don't want to go down. I'm happy over here. I'm enjoying God. I'm enjoying the radiance of the Shekhinah. Where are you sending me? I'm sending you to a world that's called Olam Asiyah. The world of deeds. World of deeds. And the Shabbat says, what is that? I don't want to go. And God says, you have no choice. And he sends it down. And it goes all the way down. It goes as a soul. And as it's coming down, it's still in the Shema, the Shema, the Shema. All of a sudden, when it gets to this world, it starts to take on a different image. Because in this world, it's not a world of souls. We cannot, this world is tangible. You have to be able to touch it. So all of a sudden, the lady conceives. 9 months later, this neshama comes out in a body, and it's a stranger. It doesn't want to be there. It misses its home. The rabbis give an example of a princess. The princess lives in the palace in the lap of luxury. She has a silver spoon in her mouth. She's enjoying all the pleasures of life. And one day the queen says to the princess, you have to go. Where am I going? To live in the slum, the slums, in the poor neighborhoods, and you're not going to have any pleasures of the life in the impoverished neighborhoods, in darkness, in danger. She says, why? I'm happy over here. You have to go. And every year she comes to visit the queen. And when she comes back to visit the queen, she says, Mommy, I don't want to go back there. You have to go back there. I want to stay here with you. You cannot. The Zohar HaKadosh says, every single night, when the neshama goes up to heaven, the neshama tells God, I want to stay here. I don't want to go back over there, that place you sent me to. God says, no, you have to go back. What do I have to go back for? This is the slums. I'm living with you in Hashem, in the highest places I'm enjoying. You sent me to a very, very contaminated world, filled with tum'ah. And God says, no, you have no choice, you must go. And that's why the first thing in the morning when we wake up, we say, Mudani defanecha, thank you God, shechazalta binishmati, thank you for returning my soul. We don't take it for granted. There was a fight, the soul didn't want to come back. You might say to yourself, I have to thank God for my soul. What do you mean? I'm a young person, I'm only 18 years old, people live to 100. Of course I'm going to get my soul back. No, it's not so simple. If you would only know that the soul doesn't want to come back to this world, because it wants to be where it was created from, the Kiseh HaKavod. So the question that I ask you today is a very simple question. Why does God send the neshama to a place that it doesn't want to be? So I know what you're going to answer me. Oh, because you have to do mitzvot. And you know everything, with all your philosophy that you know, because you go to so many classes. So you think the rabbi is going to answer, oh, to do mitzvot. And then what? And continue the thought process. And after you do mitzvot, what's going to happen? Then you go back up to the Kiseh HaKavod. So you were there already. Why make a trip that wasn't necessary? You're on the Kiseh HaKavod already. So God says, no. Go to the world, do mitzvot, and when I do the mitzvot, then what? Then you come back home. So let me stay home in the first place. Why send me on a trip to bring me back to the same place where I was? The princess comes back to the palace. The queen says, okay, now you can stay. So what did you send me to the slums for if you're bringing me back to the same place? This is a big question. The Zohar HaKadosh asked this question. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto asked this question. This is the essence of life, the answer that I'm going to give you now. The answer is two words. Nahama de Kesupa. Nahama is bread. The Kesupa is of humiliation, of shame. Bread of shame. That's the answer, bread of shame. What's the answer? What is that talking about? God forbid you should never know. There's nothing more humiliating than you have to stick your hand out and ask somebody for money. Or if you can't even eat and you need to stick your hand out to ask somebody for bread, this is the biggest busha. It's against human nature. Human beings were created with a sense of independence, that they want to be self-supportive. Nobody wants to take handouts. Nobody wants to be a taker. It's against the teva, it's against the creation, and it's embarrassing to have to take. It's not embarrassing if I go to work for 6 days, and on Friday I go to my boss and say, pay me. I'm not embarrassed. I worked. On the contrary, I'm very confident. You have to pay me. When I get my paycheck, it's not tzedakah. I walk out of the office very, very proud. I worked a hard week, I earned my money. When I have to knock on the door and my head is down, because whenever we take, we can't even look at the person in the face when he's giving it to us. Because in Arabic we say, we don't feel proper to receive for doing nothing. So much so, the Gemara Yerushalmi says amazing thing, even the nature senses this concept. The Gemara talks about a tree. You have a very strong tree. Next to it, you plant a little tree. But the little tree isn't strong. It cannot grow on its own. So what they do is, underground, they dig a hole, and they connect the roots. So the big tree supports the small tree. They connect the roots. I'm not a gardener, so don't ask me questions. This is what they do. So they connect the roots. And what happens? Now the small tree is growing and growing. But the Gemara says, at a certain point, the small tree gets so strong that it can grow on its own. It doesn't need a big tree anymore. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that point? So it says, amazing thing of nature. As long as the small tree is receiving from the big tree, the leaves are facing away from the big tree. Because the leaves cannot look at the big tree. The tree is embarrassed. All of a sudden, once you see the leaves turn, now it can look at the big tree in the face. Because he's not taking anymore. That's Yerushalmi says. That it's so inborn in the creation that even the trees sense it. When they have to take something for nothing, they can't even look. The leaves are facing the other way. All of a sudden you see the leaves turn on the tree. Now he's self-supported. Now he got a job. Now he's supporting himself. Ladies, when we were under the Kisei HaKavod, you don't remember it. A very long time ago. But the neshama was enjoying tremendously. Shekhinah, the light. It says it's such a pleasurable moment to be in that spot. But you know what? We're embarrassed because we didn't earn it. So we're getting something for nothing. So even though we're enjoying it, the Gemara says, a person would rather $1 that he earned than 9 that he got for nothing. Somebody said once when I told them that, no, I'd rather 9 for nothing. That means you're perverted. You're corrupted if you say that. The normal nature is you don't want to take from somebody. You say, no, I'd rather take 9. That means something happened to you. That's not a normal reaction. The Gemara says normal people rather have less that belongs to them than to take something from somebody else. The Gemara says, not the Gemara, Shlomo HaMelech, Eved Love Leish Malveh. The Gemara says the one that has to take from somebody becomes a slave to that person. When we're in the Kisei HaKavod, we're enjoying so much, but in our minds, the Neshama says, we didn't do anything for it. So God tells the Neshama, go earn it. Go work. You see, under the Kisei HaKavod, it's no challenge to be religious. Everybody's religious under the Kisei HaKavod. Do you have a choice not to be religious? It's so clear that God is there with all the angels. You're seeing it. You're living there. Is there a test to do something wrong over there? There's no test of life over there. Do you think the Malach has a test? You don't understand. I'm explaining it better. I don't know who you think the biggest rabbi in the world is, but whoever you think it is, put that rabbi in your mind. Imagine he's sitting over here. Could you make a avon in front of him? You can't make a sin in front of the rabbi. And the rabbi say, you're going to do something mischievous now in the class? You're not. Because the rabbi say, you're going to talk Lashon Hara in front of him? You cannot. You don't have a choice because the rabbi's here. When you are under the Kisei HaKavod, you don't have a choice to do bad. God is there. It's too clear. So God says, you didn't do anything to deserve this. Go down to the slums. Go down to the world. This is the dark world of Olam Hazeh. And now, go fight. This world is called Olam. Why do we call the universe Olam? What's the root of the word Olam? Ni'lam. Or He'ilem. Ni'lam, He'ilem means something that's hidden. Something that's concealed. We leave a world that's transparent, and we go to Olam, He'ilem. We go to a world that's concealed. In the world we came from, it's just good. God sends us to a world where there's good and bad. Now God says, go fight. And that's the whole reason you came to this world, for the nisyonot, for the tests, to fight, to battle. And every moment is a struggle. Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I eat it? Shouldn't I eat it? Should I say it? Shouldn't I say it? Should I look at it? Shouldn't I look at it? Should I get angry? Should I not get angry? Should I be smiling? Every moment. You came to this world, of Elimelech Melezinsk wrote that the purpose that you came into this world is to break your nature, to overcome your strength, your weaknesses, or your nature, to break it, to serve Borei Olam. Then after 120 years, when you come up to Borei Olam, you tell him, pay me. No, I don't want something for free. This is not welfare. This is not a handout anymore. I was fighting the evil my whole life. I was struggling. It wasn't easy for me. And that's the reason why you came into the world. People think they came into this world to rest. To relax. To enjoy myself. Everybody's looking for relaxation. But this is not the world of relaxation. Everybody wants another pleasure, another hana'a. Another place to lie down, another place to unwind. Of course, you're allowed to unwind. Just like when you go to work, you're allowed to go once in a while to take a coffee break. But if the whole day you take a coffee break, so then what did you come to work for? The world is a world of nisyonot, of tests. And you constantly have to battle the tests. There's no test of the Shamayim. I'm going to tell you a pasuk now. You heard of this pasuk, but I'm going to explain it to you now with a big hadush. This I heard from the great rabbi from Tasha Revi, from Canada. It says in pasuk, Lo tov iyot adam levado, e'ase lo ezer kenegdo. What does it mean? It's not good for man to be alone. Lo tov iyot adam levado. So God says, I'm going to make for man an ezer. What's an ezer? A mate. It means a wife. Kenegdo, against him. Kenegdo, against him. So the rabbis all ask, I understand the first part. It's not good for man to be alone. Lo tov iyot adam levado. So God says, I'm going to solve it. Ezer lo ezer, I'm going to give him a helper. Kenegdo, against him. And you make up, is she helper or she against him? I didn't come to talk about the simple interpretation of the pasuk. All the rabbis answer that question, but the Tashi Rebbe explained like this. Listen to the deep interpretation. The Pasuk is saying, when the person was in the Shamayim, before you were born in this world, you were in a world of Tov. There was only good over there. There wasn't any bad. There was no tests where you were. The Torah says, living in a world that only is good is not beneficial. Lo Tov, Hiyot Adam Nebado. It's not good when the man is just with Tov. When the Adam, when the human being is alone, just with Tov, just in the world of good, it's not the purpose of life. It's bread of shame. Lo Tov, Hiyot Adam Nebado. It's not good when a person is alone, meaning he just has good in Shamayim. So God says, I'm going to send you down to this world for your own benefit. I said, oh, is it? And what's the help that I'm going to do for you? Kenegdo, I'm going to create something that's against you. I'm going to give you yetzer hara. I'm going to give you challenges of life, and now you're going to struggle. The biggest benefit of man is the kenegdo. If there's no test of life, then your reward is going to be charity. Who wants charity? So God says, I'm going to give you a resistance now. Don't think it's good. No, I just want to be in the world of good. No, the world of good is not for you. You have to come into the world of good and bad. And now choose the good. But if you're in a world of good alone, there's no choice to be made. It's all good. So God says, Esin or Esin, you know what the biggest help I'm going to give to you? Kenegdo, that there's somebody against you. There's a Yetzer Hara that's trying to draw you away from God. That's trying to take you away. That is your not. Oh. The object of this world is to serve God under all conditions. Sometimes a person wakes up and they're depressed. You don't know why you're depressed. It happens sometimes. You woke up, they say you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You're wondering, why am I depressed today? I went to sleep happy. Nothing changed from when I went to sleep till I woke up. You're just in a bad mood. You don't know why you're in a bad mood. Borei Olam puts a person in a bad mood sometimes. And now he's telling the person, now serve me like this. Now serve me in a bad mood. That's your test today. Yesterday your test was to serve me in a good mood. Now your challenge is to serve me when you're in a bad mood. But instead, what does most people do? I'm in a bad mood today. I'm out. I'm lying down all day. I'm not praying. I'm not doing anything. No. Then what did you come to this world for? You surrendered. Why did you surrender? You waved white flag? Today's challenge is to serve God. Upset. And tomorrow a person wakes up, has a headache. Oh, headache. I cannot serve God. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Hashmir will show you asuk b'Torah. You have to push yourself. To serve God under the ideal conditions. When you're sitting in a room and there's beautiful light and you have a hot tea in front of you and you're enjoying. This is easy. And then all of a sudden they tell you, now you have to serve God where it's freezing cold. Sometimes, you know this better than me, but when the men, they go to the mikveh tahara, to purify themselves. Sometimes you go to the mikveh is warm. Oh. It's a pleasure of life. The mikveh is hamim. Of course it brings purity. But sometimes the guy forgot to turn on the button. And you go to the mikveh, it's cold. It's cold. Now God's testing you. God says, in the hot mikveh, of course. Because you're enjoying it also. Now the battle is there. The Yetzer Hara says, no, this is too difficult. Yetzer HaTov says, what did you come to this world for? You came to this world to fight. You came to this world to break your nature. Go in there. Show God that you're loyal to Him. That you don't only serve Him on your conditions. And somebody gets upset and screams at his friend. Hey, why did you scream at me? Oh, I didn't have my coffee today. Means you only serve God when He gives you coffee? And when you don't have your coffee, then already you let the Yetzer Hara control you? This is the test of life. And every moment is a test. And the goal is after 120 years, you go to Olam Haba and then you get your reward. But it's a paycheck. It's not welfare. It's not charity. It's not tzedakah. You go up to Hashem, Hashem, you put me in the slums for 100 years. I battled myself. But wait. Listen to what I'm telling you. These are the yesodot. I wish I would have said this to you 10 years ago. These are the basic foundations of life. A person, the more the resistance is, the greater the nisayon. What I mean is, when a person goes to exercise, so he has a trainer. The trainer says, take this pulley and pull it. There's weights over there. So he's pulling 1,000 times. Someone walks in, so look at this guy, Gibor Hayel, Samson. Then the guy, they tell him, you didn't put the key into the weights. So he's going like this. Big deal. There's no challenge in that. Doing an exercise. So he says, no, now we have to give you resistance. He takes the key, he puts it in 10 pounds. Oh, now there's a test of life. Now you're doing something. If a person just comes through life and he's just sleeping, and every time it's a hard test, he passes it up, so you didn't show your strength yet. The strength is when something is difficult for you, and you overcome it, now you're just a big weight. Now you just pulled a big weight. But most people, they don't want to get involved. They give up. It's too hard for them. Imagine a person goes to exercise, and he's just watching the treadmill the whole time. He's looking at it. After a half hour, well, this was a good workout. What do you mean good workout? You didn't do anything. If you don't fight, if there's no resistance, then you didn't do anything. So a person comes into this world, he wants to sleep all day long, vacation all day long, doesn't want to get involved in the battle of life. So then you don't realize what you're here for. The tzaddikim, every moment they're fighting with themselves. But somebody might say, but Rabbi, the test is too hard. The test is too hard for me. People have difficult tests. One girl's not married for so many years. Another girl doesn't have children for so many years, God forbid. Another person lost a child, Bar Minan. There's tzarot. This one has shalom bayit. This one, everybody has tzarot. A person is going to say, this test is not for me. So you must know again. If I go to exercise, this trainer right away sees the rabbi has no muscles. I don't have too much strength. So he's not going to take the key and put it in 200 pounds. He knows I can't do it. So he says, for you, 10 pounds, 20 pounds. Now my muscle gets stronger. Rabbi, now we put it on 30. Now stronger, we put it on 50. God is the best trainer. He knows exactly how much our soul can handle. So he's not going to give us a test that's too difficult for us. It's not fair. Every test that we get is made for us. It's custom made, like a custom made suit that is made to your specifications. They measured you perfect. Nobody can wear that suit except you. They measured the sleeve. The right sleeve is longer than the left sleeve. And the length of it, everything is tailor made. The nisyonot are made and delivered with an envelope and with a stamp to the person. You cannot open up somebody else's mail. And everybody can handle those nisyonot. This is sometimes you'll have an easy week. You'll be able to serve God. To prepare for Shabbat is very easy. The food went very good. You were able to have extra time. Everything was fine. And then the next week, all of a sudden, you were very busy, and the preparing for Shabbat becomes very hard. And you have pressure, and you're under the gun. That's the test of this week. It's not based on what you, how you want to serve God. It's not a restaurant. God, I want one of these, and give me one of this. Well done, and put a lemon. You're not ordering your life. God gives you the test. This week you serve God under pressure. And tomorrow the person serves God. Tomorrow there's a ta'anit. There's a fast day tomorrow. Whatever, we have to fast. Oh, fast day? I can't pray. I can't eat. And God says, no, I want you to serve me now and fight yourself and still do the right thing even without eating. Today, God says, serve me eating. Tomorrow, serve me not eating. Every single day is a different nisayon for the person. When is the relaxation? In Olam Haba, you're going to relax. This is the workout of life. Who brought you to the class today? Nobody brought you. You brought yourselves. It's a difficulty. You have to get dressed. You have to go out in the freezing cold. So maybe you have to look for parking. Then you have to walk in. And then you have to concentrate. Nisyonot! This is the fight. And the bigger the resistance, if there was 3 feet of snow outside, oh, you get a bigger resistance. That's a 100-pound weight. And if let's say you were in a bad mood because something happened, so I can't go to the class today, my mind, and you went anyway. Even though you say, but I'm not going to understand it, so because my mind is thinking about something else. But God says, look at that, you served me even when your mind was on something else. Sometimes we pick up the sidur, we don't even see the words because our mind is thinking about something else. God says, okay, now you have to serve me when your mind is somewhere else. So that's also God says you have to do that also. You shouldn't say, oh, I can't do it this way. No, Hashem wants you to do it under those conditions. Then it's your note. This is a very important lesson. And then after 120, you come back and say, Hashem, reward me. Pay me. Yaakov Abinu is a perfect tzaddik. Yaakov had very hard life. I don't have to tell you. He went from one trouble to another trouble. I'm going to tell you a hadush. When he was young, he wasn't so young, he was 40 years old. So he went, he was older, he was 63 years old. His mother told him, go get the berachot from your father. Your father is going to give you a blessing. He said, but he doesn't want to bless me, he wants to bless Esav. Don't worry, put on Esav's clothes, he'll feel you, he'll think you're Esav, and you're going to get the blessings. You know, Ma, he's going to curse me if he finds out what I did. So Rivka says, don't worry, Alay kilalatcha bini. If he curses you, it's on me. That's what she said. Yaakov says, okay, she doesn't want his mother to suffer, but she says, I'll take the curse, Alay. But the holy books say, Rivka was telling Yaakov, you're going to have three curses in your life. Three major tests. You don't have to worry about anything else. The first test is going to be your brother Esav. He's going to come and kill you, and he's going to make a war against you, and he's going to make you troubles. You're going to have a test with Laban. You're going to live in Laban's house. He worships idolatry. He's going to try to also cheat you from your money. He's going to treat you and your children very bad. That's going to be your test. And then, God forbid, at the end of your life, you're going to have a big test with your son Yosef. You're going to lose a child, Ben Minnan. So she said, Alay. Alay is Esav, Laban, Yosef. She said, Alay kelelatcha. Your kelelot, your difficulties of life is Alay. It's these three things. So he went through all these tests, Yaakov. He had to serve God when he was in his father's house, comfortable. In his father's house, he was wealthy. He lived a life of aristocrat. Yaakov Avinu lives in a, he came from a wealthy home. When his father told him to leave, he gave him a lot of money. He left wealthy. On the way down to Laban's house, his nephew saw him and mugged him, took all his money. Now Yaakov has to serve God like a poor man. Everything changes, every moment. Yaakov can say, well, it's not fair. You want to rest? God says, come. You want to rest? Resting is upstairs. Never say you want to rest. God says, you want to rest? We have a place for resting. Rest in peace, Bar Minnan. Over here is the world of action. And Hamas fighting, fighting, fighting. There was one rabbi. He walked in the rain. He's not having an umbrella. He doesn't have an umbrella. They tell Hakam, what is the umbrella? He said, I want to ask you a question. When the soldiers are fighting on the battlefield, and it starts to rain, did they got umbrellas in the middle of the war? Of course not. He says, I'm in a war. Don't misunderstand. Ladies, don't say the rabbi said you can't have an umbrella. I didn't say that. That's what somebody's going to say. Rabbi Mansour said, no, you can't use umbrellas anymore. I use an umbrella. I'm just giving you an example that the attitude of the hakamim, they're fighting a war. Umbrellas, the Olam Abba will have an umbrella. It's not good to just be with Tov. You need to have, is it a health can ignore the workout of life, the tests of life. Am I going to answer back? Am I going to get angry? Am I going to give the charity? Every single time. And this is what you came to do, to beat it. And the more your muscles get stronger, they give you bigger tests. What do you think? Of course, no. 10 pounds, 10 pounds, 10 pounds. No, I can do 10 pounds easy. 10 pounds is nothing, and they move it to 20. That's what it's like. They give them big tests. When you see somebody has a big test, you say, wow. From the test that the person gets, you see how great they are. From you see the hardships that a person goes through, you see how great they are. Must be they have a big neshama. A lot of muscles in the neshama. That God's giving them such nisyonot. Watch what I'm going to tell you now. It says in the Pasuk, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-ares. You heard that Pasuk? The first Pasuk in the Torah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens came first and then the earth. That means, first the neshamot came in the heavens. Many years ago, you were created as a soul. Bereshit bara et ha-shamayim. The spiritual side of you was created first. And then the etaris. And only then did God create the earth. That's the battleground. That's the war zone. And God tells the neshama, put on your gear. Put on your outfit. Go to war. And the neshama says, I don't want to go to war. I want to stay in tranquility. You want to be a beggar your whole life? You want to take nothing? You want to take something for nothing your whole life? Shame on you. Go fight. And we come to the world, and the more difficult the test is, and the more you overcome it, the greater you are. The more money, the more reward. It says, when Hashem created the world, He created it with a holy name. The holy name is Aleph, He, Vav, He. You ever hear that name? You heard of Yudke Vavke. There's a new name. It's Aleph He Vav He. That's one of the names that God used to create the world. The Zohar Kadosh says, what is Aleph He Vav He? It stands for Et Hashamayim Ve'et Ha'aris. That holy name is the heavens and the earth. God did not leave the world just in the heavens. He had to create the earth, so we make a round trip. We go from heaven to earth, and then after earth, we go right back to the heavens. But the heavens alone is not enough. You need et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aris. You cannot stay in the place of good. You need to go to the place of good and bad, to the workout. You need to go to the workout and fight. Yaakov Avinu, he fought Esav, he came out good. He lived in Laban's house, he still remained religious. Tariyak mitzvot he kept. Yosef, he lost a son. He didn't lose his faith. Wow, the test kept on getting stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger. At the end of Yaakov's life, he had the strongest of all the tests. Now he's 130 years old. You know what the tzaddikim do at 130? They go retire. You know where they go to retire? They go to Mea Shearim. They go to Bnei Berak. The rabbis, where they go? They go to relax. They go to Jerusalem. They have an apartment in Jerusalem. They buy an apartment next across the street from the Kollel. They go to the Kollel. They're 95 years old. They read. They come home. They have a little lunch. They go back to the yeshiva. All the tzaddikim are walking. Yaakov, God tells Yaakov, now you're 130 years old, go retire. Good. Where should I go? To Bnei Berak? No, go to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim? The most contaminated, worst place, Mitzrayim. Black magic, voodoo, Avodah Zarah. If there's a more toxic place in the world, it's Mitzrayim. Paro says he's God. The Egyptians bowing down to the Nile River. There's nothing in Egypt. The worst, lowest. Some people will tell you, New York also has Tum'ah. We don't feel it, but I'm not sure if you see a not nice billboard, then you say, oh, that's not nice. But you feel Tum'ah? You don't feel the Tum'ah. There was a rabbi called Rav Chaim Wasserman. He was once in a car. In the back seat, the windows are closed, tinted windows. Many years ago, he passed away, the rabbi. They're driving him through, you righteous ladies don't know these places. Times Square, it's a place in Manhattan. And Times Square, it's not the best place today, but in the olden days it was really not a good place. All the Averot were over there in Times Square. The rabbi's in the car with tinted windows and his hands in the book. He just drove him through Times Square. He says, why, where are we? Go away. What'd you bring me over here? He felt it. Times Square is, the Tzaddikim felt it. Egypt is Times Square times a million. Times Square to the millionth power. That's the slide. When Yaakov goes out to Mitzrayim, you don't think he's going to... If Rav Chanan can feel Times Square, you don't think Yaakov Avinu can feel the slide? When he comes out to Egypt, I say, what is this place here now? God, I wanted to retire in Bnei Berak and Me'ash Yarim. Now this is the end of my life. I have to go over here to this place of dirt, of smut, of degeneracy. God says, you want to stop fighting? You want to stop fighting? So we'll go upstairs. The battle's not over yet until it's over. Continue fighting. That's the last battle of Yaakov Avinu. Now he has to remain great and righteous and pure in the worst place he ever went to in his life. The Tzaddikim fight to the last minute. Which means, Esav, 50 pound weight. Lavan, 100 pound weight. Yosef, 150 pound weight. Mitzrayim, 300 pounds. That was his biggest test. When you go to the workout, when the person is doing the hardest weights, when he's doing the easy weights, you don't see him sweating so much. When do you see the person alive? When he's doing the harder weights, he's going back and forth, he's making all the... he's alive! On the harder weights, then you see the struggle. And the easy weights, he can sleep, he's sleeping, his eyes are closed, he's listening to the... he's reading when he's going like this. On the treadmill, when it's straight, he's watching TV on the treadmill, nothing. All of a sudden, the incline goes up. All of a sudden, you see them. You see the life come out. When the struggle becomes harder, then you see the life come out. The Pasuk says, Vayhi Yaakov, Be'eretz Mitzrayim. You know when you saw the fighter in Yaakov come out? He was alive his whole life, but you saw the true living of Yaakov when he was faced with the biggest challenge that he had to be in Egypt and remain loyal. Vayhi Yaakov, he was alive. This was the last round. This was the hardest battle that he would fight. And how long was he there for? 17 years. A rabbi says, it's not insignificant 17 years. Because the name that God created the world is what? Aleph, He, Vav, He. Et HaShamayim, Ve'et HaAretz. The numerical value of that holy name, Aleph, He, is 6. Aleph, He, is 6. Vav is another 6, that's 12. He is 5. Aleph, He, Vav, He is 17. God created the world, Et HaShamayim Ve'et HaAretz. He created both worlds. You start as a soul and then you come down. Yaakov lived 17 years because he fulfilled the purpose of Et HaShamayim Ve'et HaAretz, the holy name, Aleph, He, Vav, He. That 17 years is not insignificant. They tell us Yaakov did exactly what he was supposed to. He fought to the end. Tzaddikim, I wish you were able to see. I'm sure some of you had the zechut to see the tzaddikim. I saw the tzaddikim. You have to go to the end of the world to see the tzaddikim, to learn from them. The pasuk says, "Od yiruvum beseva." They're old. They become old. The shirim ve'ananim yihu. They're still fresh. I once went, maybe I told you this, when I was in Yeshiva in 1987, 86, I was in Israel. One day I had an urge to go see the Rosh Yeshiva of the Panevish Yeshiva, Rav Shach, he's a big rabbi. He was in his 90s already. I get to the Panevish Yeshiva, where's the rabbi? The rabbi? He's 95 years old now. He's giving shiur. He's giving a class. Imagine, inshallah, I should come in 95 years old, he should give class over here. He's giving class. I want to see the class. You can't get in. It's standing room only. So I said, this I have to see. I know I'm not going to see this too often. So I took a milk crate from the outside. There's a little window. And I climbed on the milk crate. And I'm holding on to the window. I want to see this spectacle of a 95-year-old. You see, Rav Shach was short, man. He has a shtendel, like this here, the shtendel, the lectern in front of him, with the Gemara, and there's lions in front of him, all the young boys of the yeshiva, and the rabbi's banging, oh, the Gemara says this. Yiddish, I know what he's saying, but I know he's saying the Bnei Torah, and the students are asking, what do you mean? That doesn't, oh, he's going back, and they're yelling, what a fight over here. I said, the man's 95 years old, he's still fighting. You think he's in perfect health? He woke up in the morning and says, I'm still in this world. Now God wants me to serve him as a 95-year-old rabbi. Go to the shiur, give the class, don't stop. But in the world they don't tell you that. Today a person, he gets to 50 years old, I want to retire. I want to retire. 50 years old, you want to retire. Now what does he want to do? He wants to move to Florida. He'll sit, take bread, and give it to the birds. And he feeds the birds all day long. For 50 years he feeds the birds. Why give half a life just to give up? Why do you want to... You don't want to live in Olam Abba in this world. This world is not Olam Abba. This world is the world of actions of deeds. Till the end. I saw, Alav HaShalom, my Rabbi Moriv Rabbi V'Ateret Rosh Yacham Baruch Alav HaShalom, when he was in the hospital at the end. The rabbi had tubes, and he had breathing problems, and he had sarot. He had yisurim. The rabbi, Chacham Baruch, he had tremendous yisurim at the end. I got to his hospital bed in NYU. Next to his bed, Mishnayot, Chokli Yisrael. Chacham, what is this? Hashbe Roshu Yasuk Batorah. Bring me the hawk. He's sitting reading Chokli Yisrael in his bed like this. Means God wants me to serve him now in a hospital bed. That's the test of the day. Just like he wanted me to be serving him when he sat in Shaare Tzion on the stage, he wants me to be serving him now in a bed. Tamar wants me to serve him in... That's the tzaddikim never stop. They fulfill Aleph Heba Ve Et Hashamayim Ve Et Haaretz. If God's keeping you in the world, there's a reason why you're still in the world. You still have more nisyonot to pass. And never to say, I can't do it. You can't do it. The trainer knows exactly what you can handle. I'll tell you one more story of the tzaddikim. This is motivating us. We're motivated. We don't ask to be tested, trust me. Loli denisayon, we don't ask to be tested. One of the girls in the yeshiva today asked me, Rabbi, then how come we don't ask to be tested? I told her, without asking to be tested, you'll have enough tests. Don't worry. God will give you enough tests without asking for extra credit. We don't want extra credit. We'll take the minimum amount that comes to us. Just pass the ones that you're given. Don't volunteer for more tests. The tzaddikim. You see great people in the world. You see great people. I had a great teacher. He was a master. They called him Susu Hamay Alav HaShalom. Acham Yosef Hamay Alav HaShalom was a Sadiq. He taught us a lot, Acham Yosef. We always have the best memories of Acham Yosef. Once, me and my friends, one day after school, we said we're going to go visit the rabbi in the hospital. He was also in Mount Sinai or NYU. We went. Wow. It wasn't good.
He walked in, he saw us, his face would always shine. He talks very low. He says, boys, tefillin, tefillin. He didn't wear tefillin yet. He says, Min HaShamayim, you came, you put on tefillin. With Rachem Yosef, you don't have to put on tefillin, you're patur. He says, why am I patur? Patur, if you're not patur, then who's patur? Who's exempt? God wants you to put on tefillin like this. He was stubborn. He put on the tefillin. If I tell you, me and my friends, if we know how to wear tefillin, it's because we saw the way he put on his tefillin that day. He taught us all the laws of tefillin. Put the box like this, go around the box, the right side underneath, all the laws from a sick man that was exempt. How embarrassed did we feel? If I wish I could put the tefillin on with the kavanot, like he would put the tefillin on under the worst circumstances, we should be healthy, but look the way he did it. That's the tzaddikim. There was no, nothing stopped him. Until death finished, then they went up to Shemayim. The Arizal wouldn't say, Chas v'Shalom, death. He never said death. The Arizal would say, he would use the word in his holy books, he says, the word ha'avara. Ha'avara in Hebrew, in English, the ha'avir is to pass. You ever see in English they say passed away? What do they mean passed? Passed is you go from here to here. You passed. That means there's no such thing as death. One person, he just passes from one world to the next world. So now, and the neshama's thrilled. Everybody's crying, but the neshama's thrilled. Baruch Hashem, the princess can go back home finally. So all the people in the slum are crying. Oh, we missed the princess. We missed the... But the neshama says, you stay in the slum, I want to go back to the Kisei Kavod. It's irony. We missed the people, that's why, because we missed them. But really, it's good for them to go back to the house. They're happy. If you would tell the neshama, you want to come back? Do me a favor. You'll come visit me in 120 years. I'm not coming back. That's what really it is. Because everybody always craves to go back home. There's a certain nature that God put in the creation. They say, home sweet home. Even when a person goes away on a trip, even though you're in a fancy hotel and you're enjoying yourself, after a certain point you say, you know what? I want to go home. When you come into home, you open your door, home sweet home. It's home. There's a craving to go home. There's many people, they want to visit. Oh, I used to live over here on Bay Parkway. They drive by Bay Parkway. Oh, this is where I used to live. They have certain Hana'a, or they go to Bradley Beaches. Oh, this is where we lived in Bradley. They have certain connection to the home sweet home, as they say. The neshama has a craving to go back to the Kisei HaKavod, to where it started from. The difference is, when it came down to this world, it came down as a beggar. When it comes back upstairs, it comes back as a worker that earned its salary. Now, instead of the leaves facing away from the tree, now the leaves are looking at the tree. Now you think, baby! And God says, now you feel good now. Was it worth it to go to the slums? It's worth it. Because now when I'm sitting in my chair now, now I don't have to feel embarrassed that somebody gave me a free piece of bread. Now somebody comes and tells me, I bought this with my own money. You paid for it yourself? Yeah, what do you think? All the tests of life. You think I came to the rabbi's place in 25 degrees? Nobody forced me to do it, and so on and so forth. That's et hashamayim v'et ha'aretz, and that's the magic 17 years. The more you fight, the more alive you are. The less you fight, when you give up, you're not alive. And the tzaddikim, they fight until the end. They don't let anything stop them. I'm going to let you go now, but I want to tell you one more thing. Avraham Avinu was going to do the Akedah. On the way to the Akedah, obviously he sees the ocean in front of him. He looks at the map, he has the Google, the map. There's no ocean on the map. Where does this ocean come from? He tells Yitzhak, was there an ocean over here yesterday? There's no ocean, Daddy. Which route did you take? How did the ocean come over here? They found the ocean. They don't even know where they are. Avraham Avinu said, this is the Yitzhak Allah. He's a wise guy. He doesn't want us to go do the Akedah. He knows if we do this, it's going to be big things. So he made himself an ocean. He made an ocean in the middle of the road. So Yitzhak says, what do we do now, Dad? We go. Where do we go? We go. He starts walking in the ocean. The water gets up to his chin, up to his lips. He says, "Hoshi'eni Elohim ki ba'u ma'im ad nafesh." God, help me. What do you want me to do? I can't go anymore. God tells the Yetzer Hara, leave him alone. He went already as far. Yetzer Hara says, I can't beat this guy. He's stubborn. The ocean moved away. He continued walking. The tzaddikim, they battled under any conditions to do the will of God, even when it was hard for them, even when it was difficult. Well, you think it's easy to wake up early in the morning to pray? I was telling one of the boys in the shul, it's not easy to be a Jew. It's not easy to be a Jew. I was just imagining to myself, imagine one day I just can wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning. Wow. I can't imagine such as, imagine, you could just wake up at 9 o'clock and get out of bed, do whatever you want, 9 o'clock. And you don't have to make me to that shadayim. I can bring my breakfast in bed with the bed bugs, everything in the bed. What? You can't do that, but the religion doesn't allow you. The religion says you have to get up early, you have to pray, you have to do this, you have to netilah, you have to all day. Everything is a struggle. So now the alarm wakes up 5:30 in the morning. Why, you think it's so easy to wake up? The battle, especially in the winter. And the Yetzer Hara says, a little extra is not going to hurt you. Go to sleep, rest, you need... And it gives you mitzvot. It's a mitzvah to be healthy, you need sleep, all the different things. So the Hafetz Chaim one time, he used to get up every morning early. So they said, Rabbi, how do you get up early so easily? He says, very simple. He said, the Yetzer Hara comes to me in the morning when I want to get up at 4 in the morning. The Yetzer Hara says, Hafetz Chaim, it's too cold, go back to sleep. What are you waking up for? So I tell the Yetzer Hara, you got up. You got up to bother me, so I should be worse than you. If you got up, I also... The answer to them, that's the tzaddikim. And that's what it means by Hei Yaakov. That's why at the end of this week's, we finished Bereshit, ladies. Congratulations. This is the last parasham Bereshit. Next week we start Shemot. The custom is after the Hazan says the last pasuk of the parashah, we say Hazak. What do you mean Hazak? After we read this parashah, where we learn about the battles of life, we tell each other, Hazak, Hazak, Benet Hazak. Everybody has to be strong. Don't give up hope. Accept the challenges that God gives you. And if you accept the challenge, God helps you. That's the part I didn't tell you. That when you're doing the 50-pound weight, you say, oh my gosh, it's going easy. And you notice that the trainer is also pulling, he's pulling for you. God helps you. That even in the hardest you're not, they say, I cannot do this. God comes from behind, he helps you, he pulls the weight up with you. So therefore you're not doing it alone. That's by Hei Yaakov, that's the true life. The life, and then Be'ezat Hashem after 120. You go back all the way back to the Kisei HaKavod. Ladies, somebody's going to ask you, how old are you? Oh, I'm 5,771 years old. Just as old as you, we're all the same age. But Be'ezat Hashem will succeed at this mission. Shabbat shalom.